live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 26th day of June 2025. And I am thrilled to have a returning guest on the program. Her name is Jen Niza, a former occult practitioner and psychic medium who was delivered out from darkness and into the marvelous light of her Lord God, Savior, and King Christ Jesus. She's an author and host of the podcast Ex-Psychic Saved, which can be found at expsychicsaved.com. And her life and Christian testimony will be the topic of an upcoming short film that we're excited to announce. Joining us a little later in the program will be Billy Hollowell, co-host of the Quick Start podcast, and former faith and culture editor at The Blaze. He is a key figure involved in creating the aforementioned short film about Jen Niza. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jen Niza.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for having me. Hello to everybody out there.
Well, I am thrilled to have you on the show today, as I always am. And I know that today you wanted to discuss witchcraft in media or in cinema specifically. And just to let our listeners know that you can find out more about Jen in previous interviews I have conducted with her that will have more detail about her testimony and so on, and about books that she has written. And, for instance, the last interview I conducted with her was on December 18th of 2023. Wow, it's been 2 years. We conducted an interview on pop culture and the Prince of Darkness, and we interviewed you several other times, including From Psychic to Saved on December 14th of 2023. And other programs as well. But if you just type in Niza in the search engine of IronSharpensIronRadio.com, which is spelled N as in Nancy, I-Z-Z as in zebra, A, N-I-Z-Z-A, all of her interviews will pop up in the archive. But before we go into the topic at hand, witchcraft in the cinema, why don't you just give a summary background of who you are for those of our listeners who did not have the opportunity to hear your other interviews with us or to hear your own podcast or interviews on other programs?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a former psychic medium saved by the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just over 11 years ago, I live on Long Island, New York, grew up here. And the Lord brought me into ministry in 2020. That was a few years after I had been saved already, and started my ministry in social media, which is a true testimony to who our God is, because I am not technologically gifted by any means.
Neither am I.
I, in fact, am challenged in that area, which just goes to show that God truly does equip those who he calls. And I started the ministry on TikTok and moved into Instagram, YouTube, which I just started putting some more focus on over the last year. And I wrote my first book, From Psychic to Saved, in 2020. My second one, Out of the New Age and Into the Truth. My third one is set to be released October 1st, and we'll have some pre-orders, and I'll be talking about it as we get closer. The Lord has brought me out speaking now, which is just such a blessing, bringing the truth about the occult to churches. I'm doing some public speaking. And the ministry is dedicated to warning, educating, and exposing New Age and occult practices, especially, I have to say, in a culture, the culture that we live in today, Chris, is just booming with it. It's Satan's working overtime, if you ask me, to get this out there, make it mainstream, glamorizing it, promoting it, and still coming at the youth, of course. I was only 13 when I had my first tarot card reading, and I didn't have TikTok or Google. We didn't have any of that, and certainly didn't need it, right? Because the enemy has been at large for ages, and he seeks to get people away from the truth, which, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. And I know that the church where I was formerly a member, in fact, it was the church where I had been a member all my Christian life after getting saved in the 1980s up until the time I moved to Pennsylvania in 2014. I'm speaking of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. I understand that that church has had a wonderful impact on your life. And my journey began in the 1980s when it was Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, which merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick and became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. But to have so many precious, sweet memories of that wonderful congregation. And in fact, I'd like to, before I forget to announce this later, I'd like to ask my listeners to pray for the family of a very dear friend from that church, Jim Granaro, who passed away on Monday after developing sepsis after a urinary tract infection. And Jim was also a member of that church for quite a number of years before he moved to Sharpsburg, Georgia, which was his last home on this earth. So please pray for the Granaro family. I have so many precious memories of Jim, so many moments of laughter and deep theological discussions over delicious food at his home, where I spent many Sunday afternoons after worship service. But tell us about your connection with Grace Reformed Baptist Church.
I am so blessed to be a member of Grace, and God brought me to Grace. Oh, gosh, it's going to be, I believe, 3 years in August, if I'm doing my math correctly. God went ahead of me and led me to Grace Reformed right before a huge trial would take place in my life. And we have three pastors that are godly, biblically sound men who have a true heart for their sheep. And this is just an amazing, amazing church, amazing brethren, family that upholds you, many opportunities for service. I serve in the kitchen ministry with Pastor Doug's wife, Denise, who I just love and adore. And I love being in the kitchen. So
I can tell by your Facebook posts, I get extremely hungry every time I'm looking at the photos of the food you make.
I love to cook, Chris. Raised Italian. It's in the blood.
But it seems, though, what I remember, unless there's been a turnaround amongst the Italian women, there seemed to have been a lost art among Italian women, at least when I was a young man, where many Christian women I knew, or even women in general I knew from Italian backgrounds, their mothers and grandmothers were phenomenal cooks, but they didn't know the first thing about cooking a meal. So has there been a turnaround, or is this a unique thing with you?
I'll take the unique thing with me. Hey, why not? I can't speak for everybody, but when you're raised, I can't believe that. You know what? When mom and grandma are doing it for you, why should you have to, I guess? But
right.
That's not a good approach. For me personally, I enjoy it. I enjoy cooking and all the things that I learned from mom and my nanny and my other grandparents, you don't even realize you're taking it in. But every holiday, every dinner that was made, we had to be a part of it. By the way, our butts were in the kitchen. Like, you had to do something. We had chores in there. But I was picking up all those little tips and tricks from the best cooks that I ever met. Of course, my grandparents and my mom, who now has dementia. And I have to tell you, the biggest compliment I do get is from mom and dad when they say, "This tastes just like my sauce, Jen."
Wow.
That's a compliment, Chris. Like, that, I'm running with that one.
So you say sauce and not gravy.
That's right.
Yeah, some Italians call pasta and sauce macaroni and gravy.
Interesting. Yes, I've heard of this. It will not be great. Gravy to me is brown and goes over turkey.
Yeah, well, that would be the normal way that most non-Italians would describe it. But I do know that there is an element of Italians that call their, especially the sauce that they have on Sunday, Mom's Sunday gravy. I've heard it many, many times.
Yeah, me too. Not in my house, though. You won't hear it.
Well, what is...
And not always...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, not always exclusive to Sunday either.
Right. Well, I know that this issue of witchcraft in cinema is something that concerns you greatly. And witchcraft and the occult in the media in general. Of course, you're going to have many people, including Christians, who think that Christians can be overly sensitive, overly nitpicking about things like this. Hey, it's just art. It's just entertainment. Let our kids be able to enjoy a fantasy world where they're not bogged down with a fear that everything that they're watching has to be biblical truth, or else they'll be somehow punished or chastised by God for watching it. And there are a lot of people, and of course that can exist, where brothers and sisters in Christ are overly sensitive about things in the media. But tell us where you're coming from.
Oh, I totally understand that. And we have to come at everything with a biblically balanced point of view. But we're talking about something that is so nefarious. Witchcraft, divination, the New Age practices are demonic doors that open for people and are truly seductive, enticing, and must be avoided. God condemns these practices from the beginning of his word all the way to the end. And something that really upsets me, of course, the Bible says Satan masquerades as an angel of light. It's going to look good. It's going to look healing. It's going to look like a light, like something that's just innocuous. And in truth and in fact, it's not. It's sinister and it's dangerous. And it's alluring. And the way our culture does it, especially with celebrities, especially with cinema, especially with Netflix. I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but this is something that should be avoided at all costs. This isn't simply, cherry picking or just saying, hey, you should be afraid of everything. You walk outside your door. No, not at all. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we need to be aware of witchcraft, because Satan's putting it in everybody's face, Chris, And like I said in the beginning too, especially young people via social media and the types of movies you're seeing today. And of course, Netflix is just a repeat offender of it, but it's very dangerous and will lead you away from Jesus Christ.
Now, when we had actually spoke of this in one of our previous interviews, but when I was a kid, I can remember loving watching The Wizard of Oz. There was obviously a good witch and bad witches, one bad witch in particular. They've even made a Broadway play out of this witch. And I never was warned by my parents. My mother was a very godly woman, but she thought it was harmless entertainment and was never felt like I was watching something that was demonically oppressive. And then, of course, even another memory that's actually a fond memory, but from what you're saying today, it should not be a fond memory. But I used to love watching the TV show Bewitched with Elizabeth Montgomery. And she was obviously being portrayed as some kind of a lovable, good, harmless witch who only meant the best for her husband and everyone else. And of course, she had a mother-in-law that was perhaps more sinister and a twin sister that was more sinister. But so tell us, before you go on to what's going on now, that's even perhaps more troubling. Why are even these things, or are these things in your mind that I just mentioned, even things to be avoided in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, especially as a child, watching a show or a movie where there are these powers that are being shown, let's say you have something going on in your life, which we will do, let's be honest about it. But now you're younger, you don't really have a frame of reference for the spiritual. Maybe you're having some problems in school. Maybe you're having some problems at home. And now you see witchcraft that looks nice, as long as the witch is nice and she's pretty and she seems to have good intentions, but she can also make things happen. It's not unlikely that a child watching that or a person watching that may be interested then in trying to also control their own circumstances or reality through supernatural powers. Like I said, it's very, very enticing and it's readily available. That's the thing. It's readily available. If that's something that I had wanted to do today, what would I have to do? Just go onto Instagram, just go onto TikTok, get a reading, get my own tarot, which of course I did have my own tarot cards back in the day, but the kids can go to Barnes and Noble, the law of attraction and manifesting. So when it presents as something good, it's especially deceptive, right? And that's something I say a lot when I speak, Chris, because when I look at myself, when I was a psychic medium, I mean, I was your girl next door. I looked the same. I would have just given a reading like this, which nobody can see me right now, but I'm just, and I would think look like a normal person, but somebody not, hopefully, except my beachy hair. But outside from that, I wasn't wearing a pointy black hat. I wasn't stirring a cauldron. I didn't have pentagrams all over the place. I didn't look the part. And when people see that, they may say, oh, that's bad. That might be bad. Don't look at that. That's evil. But then Jen Nisa, the Long Island medium, your girl next door, your, what was that, the show that you watched? And I remember the show.
Bewitched.
She did the thing with the nose, right? She did a little something with her nose. Yeah.
Yes.
And she was pretty and everything seemed nice. That is so scary. Because it's not any of those things. It's the same witchcraft that the person with the black hat and the gothic outfit and the pentagrams is doing. It's not a different thing. It's just dressed up differently to deceive in order to deceive people. So praise God for you. You ended up okay. You didn't go down the...
You're probably the first or second person who has ever said that.
And this would be a question you would have to answer or think about, or did it open any doors for you in your life?
I was never drawn into the occult. I can remember playing with my friends as teenager, or even before teenage years, with Ouija boards. And there was a curiosity about that, but it didn't last long. So I was never deeply drawn into anything like that. I mean, you might say that some of the music I listened to was of that ilk. Black Sabbath was one of my favorite bands, but I never took the music seriously. Like, I never adopted what they were singing about as an ideology in my life or anything like that.
Well, you know what I wonder sometimes, Chris, is when those things start, when we tap into those things, right, we engage or entertain things that are demonic, what are the side effects of that? Are the side effects that obvious? Or could it be children having nightmares? Could it be nightmares, sleep terrors, things of that nature? In my opinion, and I think of the opinion of many new age, former new agers that I work with too, we would all agree that it does do that. So it may not look like it's directly connected to that thing you saw or that song you listened to or whatever, but it just may be. But I don't want to get too carried away with all that now. I'm just saying it's dangerous.
I probably should let our listeners know, who haven't heard your previous interviews before, and I remind you to please look them up, folks, after this live interview is over. But it's probably important, it is important for my listeners to know that you were not a conscious charlatan when you were an occult practitioner and psychic medium. You experienced genuinely demonic manifestations from the other world, as it were, whatever Satan used to masquerade as truth being revealed to you. I'm not saying that the things that you experienced and told people and taught people were true things. I'm just saying that it wasn't just figments of your imagination, and it was not conscious trickery on your part. You were not involved in, as they used to call them, parlor tricks. You are experiencing something that you now recognize as demonic.
100% correct. 100% correct. And I really wanted to help people. And I really believed that I was. And the New Age community was fanning the flame of that fire for quite some time in that very deceptive, because I was getting this information about people, getting these messages for people, sometimes randomly, sometimes, of course, when I was using a tool of divination. And when the mediumship started, I went to a psychic medium because my whole life was divination. And I didn't even know the word back then, but my whole life, so let me change it. My whole life was going to psychics, getting readings, giving readings for every area of my life, every area of my heart, anything that I could possibly think about. I went to fortune tellers, clairvoyants, tarot card readers, psychic mediums. So I went to the psychic medium when I had the psychic mediumship experience for the first time. And she said, gee, Jen, you know, you're a medium too. And God gave you this gift so that you can help other people receive messages from their departed loved ones. Well, that sounds like a great thing. It's a gift from God. Okay, well, how am I going to reject that? This God that I didn't even know. So that made it even easier, right? Because it was subjective. So that was easy for me to believe. And nobody else was giving me an explanation of what had just happened. And I wanted to help people. So I said, okay. And I went full in, 100% in, doing psychic mediumship readings, really believing I was talking to dead people. I really believed it. And I would share tears with my clients. I would share tears with them when we really believe. Because here's the thing, right, Chris? There's accurate information in readings. I hate calling it truth.
there's accurate information because demons have been around for ages and they see things. So let's say I sat down for a reading and, okay, your dad's here. His name is so-and-so. His birthday is this. Yeah, because demons have seen it already. There was no Google.com. The demons have already seen it. Details, personal, private details that that person could only have known. And these are perfect strangers to me, right? And they just would come into tears thinking they're communicating with their deceased mother or father, grandparents, and even children. And I was here for it. And my goodness gracious, in a way, I guess, a counterfeit blessing. Wow, this is great. I'm really helping people. You know, this is a good thing. And it's far from it, of course.
Now, moving on to the actual theme that you have chosen for today, witchcraft and cinema. Tell us about what is going on now in our current day and even very recent in cinema that has troubled you greatly. Both those things that are patently obvious when it comes to the inclusion of witchcraft and the occult in cinema, and things that may be a lot more subtle than that, where the average viewer might not recognize the connection with the occult.
Yeah. You actually touched on, kind of interesting, earlier how much you enjoyed The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the Broadway show, of course, called Wicked. And they came out with the movie Wicked. And this is something I am really upset about, Chris.
Even the Orthodox Jewish political podcast host Ben Shapiro loved the new movie based on that story, where it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, I've never seen it, but I think they're trying to make the bad witch a good witch.
Yeah. Ben Shapiro, I am horrified, Ben. How could you enjoy this movie?
Oh, yeah. He had a glowing endorsement for it, and he actually was surprised that he would enjoy it so much.
Well, I'm surprised that he enjoyed it. And I say that perhaps he's not keen to the occult all that much, but he certainly does a lot of work and speeches on some other things that are very woke in our culture. And I'll just say it. I mean, same-sex implications, same-sex relationship. He does a lot of stuff about that. And they've started to make, there are some against it, correct. And there are undertones of that in this film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Right? Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen it either. I just did a lot of reading about it. And I say that because, and I only speak on what I read. So it's not as though I'm going to come out here and throw opinions out there on something. I'm not going to make anything up. I don't want people to say, oh, you didn't even watch it. On everything that I read and what I know about witchcraft, I've, you know, I'm going to speak what my feelings are about that and my belief on it, which of course goes back to the Bible. Number one, why do you want to even pretend to do something that is an abomination to God and that summons devils? Okay, that's number one. Let's start there. Number two, what you said was right there. I actually read that her name is Elphaba, I guess. She's being portrayed as the Wicked Witch in the movie Wicked. And this little explanation about her, it's right online, says about her character. Kind but hardened young woman who was ostracized for having green skin. Oh, now we're feeling sorry for the witch. Now we're feeling sorry. Now we're to have a compassion for, yes, a person, absolutely, but witchcraft, no. I can have compassion for a person all day long, and that's why I would want to share the truth with them about witchcraft, right? Then of course, they're doing this whole thing with some other undertones as well. Then we have Glinda the Good Witch, which I do remember The Wizard of Oz. This is supposed to be a prequel. And Glinda is played by Ariana Grande. And I just want to make the disclaimer that I pray for these people, guys. I truly do. When I bring up celebrities, which I do a lot, especially we did it in our last interview together. We were talking about Taylor Swift. I'm passionate to call these people out because they have massive platforms And people need to know the truth. And unfortunately, they are idolized. And we need to tell the truth, but we need to pray for the people. So having said that, pray for Ariana Grande, please. She is very, very witchy, to say the least. And she's open about it, very open about it. So now you have her platform. You have her fans, right? Oh, Jesus. And she does have a beautiful voice. I'm not going to say she has a beautiful voice. Oh, we should definitely go see this movie. So here's the hook. Now Satan's got them in the movie theater to watch this movie and completely lie about what witchcraft is. Witchcraft is never good. And this is a real thing, Chris. There are people that call themselves Christian witches, good witches, light workers, the white witches. White witches will say, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I'm not putting a curse on you. I'm not putting a spell on you. I'm just trying to attract things for myself, you know, with the moon cycle and my cleansing of my crystals and invoking supernatural powers, so on and so forth, to have control. There is no distinguishing between good and bad witchcraft. It's witchcraft, period. God is clear about it. We go to Deuteronomy, you know, 18:10-12. We go to Revelation 21:8. I mean, this is all over the Bible. And glorifying it in this way is, it just pains me. And I did a podcast episode, Chris. They had something called a Celebrity What's in My Bag. And Ariana Grande actually participated in this. I showed a clip from it. And you know what she pulled out of her pocketbook? So it's basically celebrities with their tote bags or their pocketbooks. Who's pulling out a deck of tarot cards? Who's pulling out, oh gosh, what did Kate Hudson have? I forgot what she had. She had some crystals and things. Ariana Grande pulls out a crystal ball. And it was actually a choreographer from the movie Wicked that gave her this crystal ball. And unfortunately, we can see so much other sin through Ariana. It's very sad, actually, public adultery and things of that nature. And you can go check that out, guys, if you know, could check me on that, but she did. And this is what she's promoting, and people love her, Chris, and it's sad. So you have so many things that are a problem with this movie, but especially glamorizing witchcraft. Oh, look at this little musical. Look at this fairy. Oh, it's just no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's just entertainment. And that's just not true. What you're watching goes into your mind, and what goes into your mind can go into your heart, and what goes into your heart can go into your actions. And you can start. And of course, as Christians, we know not to have idols, of course, right? We know not to have idols. As a Christian, I wouldn't go see this movie if you paid me. I know what God says about witchcraft. Why would I support that? This isn't like, what do they call those things? Like romantic comedies or something? This isn't that. This is bold. This is blatant. Demonic powers at work here.
And we have to go to our first commercial break. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own for Jennifer Nisa, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. You can remain anonymous if your question is personal and private, such as it relates to your own personal experience in the occult or the experience of a loved one. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. the coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries announcing that this September I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
CEO and President of Lebanon Folk Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Folk Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with six convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Folk Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you've just tuned us in, our guest today is Jen Niza. She is the host of the podcast Ex-Psychic Saved. She's an author of a number of books. There is going to be a short film coming out, God willing, in the reasonably near future about her life and testimony of being delivered out from the darkness of the occult and the psychic realm into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And we are, God willing, going to be joined momentarily by Billy Hollowell. And he is involved in the creation of this new film about Jen Niza. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We do have an anonymous listener who says, do you think that most people who are drawn into the psychic realm and everything else that you've been describing about the occult and witchcraft are more prone to be women and are more prone to be Roman Catholic?
Oh, what an interesting question. Yes, to being more prone to be women. We actually, Billy and I actually spoke about this on a recent interview for CBN, whether it's the emotional aspect of it, that I think of Eve in the garden being deceived, enticed for knowledge. Women have feelings, you know, not that men don't have feelings and that men aren't, you know, men can't be nurturing. Of course they are. But there is something that we are seeing across the board. And I'm going to take it a step further and say femininity, because even in the people that aren't straight, let's say, you know, TikTok, a lot of them are into witchcraft. There's something about this feminine, the promise of the feminine divine, and so on and so forth. Now, in regards to Roman Catholicism, I don't know that I could speak on that. I was raised culturally Catholic. I did not take any of it seriously. I didn't really know Jesus. It was more of a like I said, cultural. So I didn't regard the house. I mean, Christmas was more about the food and Santa Claus and lights and what have you. I wouldn't want to make a blanket statement like that.
From my own experience, I have a family member who, I don't know if this family member still goes to psychic mediums, but she was for quite a while, and a very faithful, committed Roman Catholic simultaneously. And she explained it one time when I was challenging her and lovingly rebuking her and warning her about what she was doing. She was explaining it to me that she didn't believe it was all that big of a deal because, these are my words, not hers. She prayed to dead people every day.
Wow.
You know, because of the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church to pray to deceased people like Mary and the saints. And of course, their excuse is when they, if you tell them that they're guilty of the sin of necromancy, contacting the dead, they will say, well, these people are more alive than we are. They're in heaven. But she explained it away, but because of the fact that she prayed to Mary and the saints, and she didn't think that was all that big of a leap. And also, I think he may be deceased now, but there was a very popular, well-known TV host on Long Island, Monsignor Tom Hartman. I don't know if you remember him, a Roman Catholic Monsignor. And he was actually admonished by his bishop for recommending people who are going to him for counseling because of grief after the loss of a loved one. He was recommending that they see mediums. And of course, that gives you both examples of, number one, his bishop rebuked him, so that's a good thing. But on the other side, he was a Monsignor and recommending it. But I'm so thrilled that we have just been joined by Billy Hollowell, co-host of the Quick Start podcast and former faith and culture editor at The Blaze. And he is a key figure in creating the aforementioned short film about Jen Nisa. Welcome to the program, Billy Hollowell.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm thrilled to have you. And, well, tell us about how you came to become aware of Jen Nisa. And I know that you've interviewed her, but even before that, and what instilled within you this desire, this excitement over helping to create a short film about her life and testimony.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I saw a lot of Jen's content on social media, which I think is a testament to the use of social media for believers, right? Because a lot of people, they don't want to use it. They feel it's, you know, unhelpful or it's dangerous or it's damaging. But so many people gather on social. And so I came across her content. And because this is an area where I've looked a lot and I've studied a lot, and I wrote a book on evil a few years ago, I was really sort of drawn to the content, and I thought, what a cool story of a person who came from this really dark past who found Jesus. And so one day I actually reached out to Jen through Instagram, and I was like, hey, would you do an interview with CBN? Would you do an interview with me on my Playing with Fire podcast at the time, which I had? And she said yes. And so I interviewed her, and anybody who's talked to Jen, you become instant friends with her because she's very down to earth, very obviously interesting story. So we hit it off. We became friends. And you know, one of the things in my work that I've spent a lot of time doing is looking at stories like this, not necessarily in the occult sometimes, but also other life change stories, people who have gone from crazy, insane lifestyles that were counter biblical into Christianity and how it's changed their lives. So, you know, doing a short film like this, which we hope to expand eventually into a major motion picture, that to me is compelling. You know, we're living in a world, and then I'll stop my TED talk, but I think this is important to say, you know, we're living in a world in which media is so powerful. And a lot of the things that we've seen that have gone so wrong in culture, they've happened because of media and entertainment, that people who have had values that were counter to the Bible, they have used their artistic abilities to instill those values. And so this is a real time for us to take some of that back and insert the kinds of content that people need to see, to have similar life change to what Jen has had. So very, very excited about this project.
Great. Can you tell us more about the details about the project itself? How long do you envision the actual short film to be, and what areas of her life will be included in it? Who's going to play her in the film? I don't know if Jen's playing herself. Tell us more about that.
Yes. Jen is an acclaimed actress, so she should play herself. No, we can't yet say who it will be, but we will soon potentially be able to reveal that. So we'd love to come back and do that. But we're still sort of working through that. But we have a pretty good idea of who it's going to be. And the person is wonderful and she's amazing. And a very strong believer, which is great. The film, and Jen, feel free to jump in on any of this, but the film is going to tackle a portion of her life, because you have about, in a short film like this, you have about 10 to 12 minutes to make an impact, right? And so you're not going to tell the entire story, but you're going to get a snapshot of where Jen's life was, how she sort of got there a little bit, but it's going to be a piece of the puzzle that shows you the desperation when, you know, being a psychic, it sort of paid its toll on her. And you're going to see that part of her life. And then a moment that really is sort of an awakening moment, or kind of the preceding moment that leads to her awakening. So it's going to be a short snippet of her story, but it's going to be about 10 to 12 minutes. And it's going to be very, very impactful. You'll see what she did, why she thought she was doing it, and why she realized she had to escape it. So we're excited to be able to tell it. I mean, I think you don't see a lot of this kind of content in Hollywood or in entertainment from a Christian perspective. We see it from the secular perspective every Halloween, right? There's, you know, 400 scary movies that come out, but they're not biblical. And this is going to be very different. It's going to give people a real look into the truth in a way that they haven't seen it.
That's, well, the most exciting.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I do have a suggestion, a strong suggestion. If you ever want to do a short film about my life, I would like Brad Pitt to be the actor that portrayed. I think he would fit in perfectly. No, I'm only kidding. now, how long did you expect the film to be? Because we keep calling it a short film.
Yeah, so it's going to be about 10 to 12 minutes. It's going to be it's going to be short, and it's going to be pointed, and it's going to be an amazing ministry tool. And then that is going to be the impetus for something bigger. It's going to be a standalone that will be used as a ministry tool. And will be used to bring people along and really, I think, create intrigue about Jen's story. And then that will serve also as the centerpiece of a broader effort to create a full-length motion picture. So we're talking about two different projects here, the first of which is going to be a short film. And again, you know, you have 10 to 12 minutes to tell a story. And so you have to be very specific. And Jen and I have both seen the script. We've had, I think, 6 versions of the script that we've gone through. I think that's correct, Jen, about 6 of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've made changes and amendments and shifted things and sort of looked at where the story is. And I really love where the story is. You know, your inclination when you're doing a short film, you want to tell, like, you want to show Jen as a child and Jen being exposed to tarot cards. You want to get into all of that, but we're not going to get into all of it. We're going to meet her where she is once she's in this journey, and we're going to see where that takes her. And so it's pretty exciting.
Great. So exciting.
Well, we are going to our midway break right now, and if you have a question for either Jen Niza or Billy Hallowell, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. You may remain anonymous if your question is about a personal and private matter involving the occult. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005.
The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, CVBBS.com is now shipping worldwide. Before I return to my guests today, Jen Niza, who is a former psychic saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and also Billy Hallowell, who is co-host of a program as well, and we are talking about Jen's testimony, and we will be returning to that conversation very shortly. But I want to remind you, if you love the show and you want it to remain on the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could use a debit or a credit card and donate instantly. You can also send in the check via snail mail to the physical mailing address that will also appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, and you can make your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, no matter what it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I also want to remind you, I never want my listeners, as much as I appreciate your generosity and as much as we urgently need your donations, I never want my listeners giving your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please never do that. In other words, never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your own local church for your Lord's Day giving in order to bless us. Never give your own church less money than you normally give your own church to bless us. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet, more financially stable, before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like the church where Jen Niza is a member, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, well, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches. And no matter where in the world you live, if you are not in a biblically faithful church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I've helped many people all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and that's also the email address to send in a question to Jen Niza and Billy Hallowell about Jen Niza's testimony of coming out of the darkness of the occult and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. We have Philomena in Bellport, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, in both of your experience, either personally or having interviewed people in that background like Billy, how often are drugs and alcohol and the abuse of those things involved in the occult practitioners?
Yeah, I've actually seen that a lot in interviews that I've done. People that specifically took hallucinogenics and psychedelics to tap into the spiritual realm and have some supernatural communication. It's tied in a great deal. Ayahuasca, oh gosh, so many psychedelics. And I personally did not do those things. Calm down, Billy. No. We joke all the time, so it's hard not to.
I know. We like to tease each other. Now, I've seen a lot of people who have, even for some people, drugs being the gateway for them into evil, right? So when you're doing drugs and you're opening yourself up, I mean, you think about some of the hippie language from back in the day, you know, I'm opening my mind, you know, well, what you're opening up when you're high is potentially a doorway. And so there was one man in particular who I interviewed in my book, Playing with Fire, who drugs, it was a major gateway for him, a major doorway for him into the occult and into having demonic presence around him. So, you know, when you're messing with that sort of thing, you're definitely opening a potential door. So yeah, that's something I've seen again and again, or it's part of the process. You know, they've engaged in other things and they're doing drugs and alcohol. And it's sort of, you know, it's one thing to have a drink of alcohol. We're not talking about that. We're talking about persistent drunkenness. And when you're doing a drug, you're always high, right? So that can be a major issue for sure.
Yeah, I guess the devil loves an altered state of mind when all your defenses are gone and your curiosity might even be heightened. And after becoming sober myself, after falling back into the wickedness of habitual drunkenness after 18 years of sobriety, when I look back on it, I see the many dangers of putting yourself in that altered state of mind. In my case, as I said, it was drunkenness, but that's even heightened, I believe, with other kinds of drugs. In fact, when I found sobriety, and I always look for an opportunity to plug Hebron Colony Ministries in Boone, North Carolina, where I found sobriety, praise be to God. And by the way, their website is hebroncolony.org for anybody facing that, either that sin themselves or have a loved one who is. It's free of charge as well, which is a big bonus, and completely Christian and Bible-based. But I can remember while I was there was one resident who was involved in the occult. And he really stood out because he was dressed in the goth garb and openly hated Christ, which was rare to have somebody actually publicly announce that kind of thing. Because even most of the men there that were not believers, in reality, they were polite enough to go, go through the motions, as it were, and go to the mandatory preaching sessions. But this young man fought against it and had to be constantly reprimanded to come back into the worship meetings and Bible studies. And tragically, he wound up killing himself. That leads me to another question for both of you. How often are these sinister activities leading to suicide? Do you have any statistics about that?
I would say, so I have anecdotals. I don't have statistics because I think it gets a little complicated collecting some of those for obvious reasons, just because of the nature of suicide. But one of the things that showed up in almost every story of somebody who was dealing with incessant, deep oppression or possession, you know, or suspected possession, every one of those people, every single one of them, had an idea in their head: end your life, end your life. They kept feeling something tell them you should die, you need to end your life. And in fact, one person I interviewed, she had thrown herself out of a second story window of her home. She's currently paralyzed still.
Wow.
She had gone through a deliverance and exorcism, however you want to word it. I know there's debate over the wording, and was freed from the demonic, but during her affliction threw herself out of a window. So that was something that showed up in almost every single one of those stories. And I hear it again and again and again. If you're oppressed to that level, you are going to have those thoughts of worthlessness, because what does the devil want to do? He wants to kill, steal, destroy. That's why drugs and alcoholism are such a tool for that. They kill, they steal, they destroy, they do all those things. And obviously the ultimate form of that is suicide. So quite often, I've even asked people, and I interviewed the wife of a pastor who committed suicide, and I've asked, you know, how much of this was mental versus spiritual, right? I mean, this is a debate that people have all the time. And a lot of these people have said it's both. One fuels the other, right? You can't really talk about one without the other. So you will often see that being the case.
Anything to add to that, Jen?
Well, I think that it sounded exactly like demonic possession, to be honest with you. What you stated about the person in the rehab, that sounded exactly like demonic possession. And I think of the accounts in the Bible. Look what was happening. I mean, that's certain destruction that the devil is going to cause, whether it is heavy oppression or possession, which we're not walking around saying everybody's possessed by any means, but it certainly can happen. It may be rare, but it can absolutely happen. And I argue a lot of psychic mediums are possessed. It's at least at times. I was on the brink of it myself, for heaven's sakes. And the destruction is going to be, whether it's physical in that way, it's certainly going to be spiritual, because unless one comes to Christ, repents, and stops doing that, hell is the fate for the person that is, of course, not in Christ. But I mean, serving the devil for many years is a very, very dangerous and deadly practice, guys. It's you know, you definitely get the oppression throughout that time. And I think it's important to talk about that, because while we're seeing, we were talking before, Billy, at the beginning, just how sometimes witchcraft presents as something beautiful and something helpful and something healing, like Bewitched, Chris was mentioning. But unfortunately, it's not any of those things. And real psychic mediums, I mean, in real time, such as I once was, I was dealing with the demonic. I was dealing with the side effects. I called side effects the side effects of that. So don't be fooled when you turn on your TV and you're looking at the Long Island medium, and because she's charismatic and she's here on Long Island and she's sweet and all these things, that she's not facing that demonic oppression. I can assure you that she is. How it looks for her, I can't speak to. I don't go behind the closed door with her. But there's anxiety, there's depression, there's demonic manifestations, there's sleep paralysis, there are nightmares, all things of that nature, which I was alluding to before, when we were talking about demonic doors being open and what are the consequences of that? But those are certain consequences.
We have Frederica in Montreal, Canada, who says, do you believe that there are things that are even deceiving evangelicals into experimenting with or adopting or participating in that are so innocuous and benign on the outside that the true evil roots cannot be easily detected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you have to go with prayer and conviction on things. There are certain things that people are going to debate about when it comes to entertainment and those sorts of things. But there are things that are very clearly, overtly, I mean, and again, there's debate over some of it, but things like horoscopes, right? That is something that people, crystals, these are things that there are Christians who I know who have used these things or experimented with them, or they think it's no big deal, or they think it's fun. These are things that are out in the open. They are not good. We should not be engaging with them. And yet people are, because culture is saying it's okay to. And so you sort of get worn down over time and you start to believe the lies that these are great things when we know they're not. So I think for sure, horoscopes, crystals, those sorts of things, I think certain entertainment, you know, we can get very complacent with it. We can watch certain things or take things in and or even read certain things and, oh, it's no big deal. Well, it may not be a big deal the first time, but what about the 10th time you're doing it? What about when those things are becoming normative to you? That's how people change. That's how culture changes. If we ever say, well, how did we get here? Well, we got here because over time there were shifts, there were moves, and a lot of it was the things that we chose to engage in. So I hope that answers the question, but I think it's a steady process that happens sometimes.
I would just add yoga and Reiki, especially I'm hearing a lot about, well, my friend's a Christian and she's telling me to do the Reiki and yoga. I was deceived by yoga. Even after coming to Christ, there were a lot of people in the church that I was in at the time, and it wasn't the pastors, but there were women that, oh, yoga's okay. It's no problem. The Enneagram is a New Age tool. And that is extremely deceptive because it's being used by churches, suggesting that you have that it's like a personality test and that you can even find out your gifts from the Holy Spirit that way by doing some sort of calculation and then you become a number. There is nothing different about that than numerology, quite honestly. And then, of course, you have to look into it is difficult because you have to go back and you have to look at the origins and you have to look at who participated in these concepts and practices. And we see that one of the creators of the Enneatypes used automatic writing to come up with the information on those Enneatypes. So it's definitely worth doing your research on these things and testing the spirits.
If you could explain a little bit more about Reiki, or unless I'm mispronouncing it, Reiki. I can remember years ago, I had a friend who was a Christian chiropractor. And I remember being involved in a conversation with him and another Christian chiropractor. The other Christian chiropractor was rebuking his colleague in chiropractic arts for including Reiki in his practice. And he was telling him, this is demonic. You've got to get rid of that. You can't be doing that. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, there's nothing biblical about Reiki at all. It's a pseudoscience, New Age, false healing modality, energy work, relying on energy that you believe is coming out of your hands and from some sort of power, of course, not Jesus. We are not instructed to do this. And of course, Jesus did not use symbols, by the way. You have to go into the origin of Reiki. And the idea is that when you hover your hands with this healing energy that you're believing into, right, that it's going to heal a person, their organs, their emotions, their spirituality, maybe even open them up, clearing up some chakras. It overlaps, Chris. That's another problem with these New Age practices. They keep overlapping. One goes into the next one. Meditation, chakra balancing, the Reiki, oh my goodness, yoga, they all, meditation. Did I mention that one? New Age meditation. It all goes together. It reminds me of remote viewing a little bit too, because, you know, people do remote healings. They try to do remote healings with Reiki healings, like put a picture or they'll have a phone call and then they'll just send you energy. They send that to you. Now, it's not by email, not by phone, by text.
Now, how do you approach somebody who has fallen in love with yoga. They've never heard of any occultic connection. They know that they feel better physically than they have, or even mentally and emotionally, than they have in years or perhaps all their lives. They feel more limber, and aches and pains they used to have are gone. They are more relaxed. They have more energy. How do you convince somebody like that who doesn't have anything of the occult realm in their minds when they're doing yoga positions and things like that, and then they feel benefits from it? I'll let both of you, maybe Billy, if you want to respond first, and then we'll have Jen respond.
Yeah, you know, I think that you have to meet people where they are in terms of their understanding, but you have to tell them the truth. And I think explaining to people, well, you know, one tool I often use is I ask questions of people. So, well, do you know where this came from? Or do you know what that means? Or have you ever thought, you know, a lot of times asking questions gets people thinking because it forces them, instead of speaking at them, you're bringing them into the process and you're asking them if they have any sort of awareness of what exactly they're participating in and doing. And that opens up really good conversations. I think also not getting angry and frustrated, because it can be very frustrating when you know something is demonic or evil and people are defending it or saying, what's the big deal? So you want to pull back the emotions on it and ask some questions that are key to helping them understand the origins, helping them understand what it actually means. That's when you're going to make progress. And also, when you're dealing with somebody who has no understanding, it's rare you're going to get them from a zero of no understanding to a 10. You may get them to a 2 or a 3. You may move them a little bit, but it's going to take time sometimes for people to understand what this all really means. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit can't give discernment to somebody if they ask for it and they seek it. That gets them to a 10 quickly. But I think we have to have patience and perseverance, and also approach them in the right way with questions.
Jen?
Yeah, I love that. Of course, I would always say pray before you have any conversation with somebody that you're about to confront. And it is a confrontation in a way. You're confronting an issue. And I love your method, Billy. I think that's great. Whereas I probably just go in, listen, yoga is a Hindu spiritual practice, end of day. And you can't throw your mat down and put the word Jesus's name on it and it becomes something other than what it actually is. It's a Hindu spiritual practice that worships false gods, aka demons, their deities, which they have millions of them, and they take it very seriously. Hindus take it very seriously, but you cannot separate the spiritual practice. You can't separate the Hinduism from the act. And those postures are not some sort of just natural exercise movements. Those positions are worshiping and honoring their gods and playing out scenes, even murder scenes, and worshiping like Lord Shiva. And we know that God says in his word. So this is probably what I would do. I'm way rougher. I'm just like over it. I'm just going, Billy's very kind, maybe kinder than me, I guess.
I think on yoga, you are right, though, because it's actually different. There's different levels of this. Yoga is actual positions that are worshiping other god, like they're worshiping, you know, demons essentially, yeah. Right? You know, I think that's another level though. So there, it may be better to be a little more blatant and still ask the questions. But yes, yeah, Jen, you're very nice. Don't downplay it.
And I really care. That's the thing. And I praise God that now God's using my compassion and empathy for people, for the kingdom of God, and not, I'm not being used for the kingdom of darkness anymore. We have to be bold, and that's the loving thing to do. But with grace and with love, and pointing these things out are very important. And I understand people's feelings. That's usually what goes up against, right? People's feelings, like you were mentioning, but I feel good. I feel better. Yeah, you're vulnerable. Nobody wants to feel sick. We all want to feel better, which is what easily gets people into the trap of these new age practices, Reiki and yoga. Yet they do need to know the truth about what these things are, and that it's not a matter of Christian liberty. It's not a matter of Christian liberty. I love what Doreen said once. She said, well, would you use a Ouija board as long as you put a Bible verse on it, write down a Bible verse on it, and then you're going to use the Ouija board? Is it a matter of Christian liberty? It's not. It's a blatant, it's a demonic tool of divination.
And so I should stop doing that, you're saying?
You should stop doing that, Chris, ASAP.
Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, please submit a different question if you have one, because we've already discussed in depth the new Wicked movie based on the play, based on the evil witch and the bad witch in The Wizard of Oz. So if you could come up with another question, if you have one, we would love to hear it. We have Ted in Moundville, Alabama, who says you might want to ask about Kundalini as well. It seemed that's where the one is, so is the other. I see what he's, I think, saying. It was clumsily written there, Ted. But I guess what he's talking about is the Reiki and the other things may be connected to Kundalini. I know I've heard that word, but I don't know anything about it. Do you know?
Yeah, the Kundalini. Yeah, there's Kundalini yoga and the Kundalini. So it's a demon. That's what this is. And so you take the chakras that start at the top of your head to the base of your spine. And the idea is that it is in the shape of a serpent. And when you uncoil through this Kundalini yoga, when you uncoil it, you have this very, I don't want to say the word, but you have an experience, okay, that is so powerful that actually it has scared people. Actually, our journalist here, I'm pretty sure there was a story, Billy, about this, where people were fainting and having all kinds. Do you recall that?
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, it was in Colombia. It was in another country, I believe, where, yes, there was a story. It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's just a very demonic thing. And people actually were seeing these demonic manifestations and side effects of practicing Kundalini.
Okay, we have Milo in Washington, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, I have heard people have been freed from years of agony and pain due to different ailments, who have been cured of the pain with acupuncture. Is acupuncture also demonic? I've heard some Christians say to stay away from it.
Yeah, I have a podcast episode about acupuncture with our friend Marcia Montenegro over on X Psychic Saved. I think she has a very interesting take on it. She has great articles. She's a missionary. She has great articles. If we could direct them to Marcia, ChristianAnswersNewAge.com. Just put in the search bar. But also my podcast, we did a whole episode about acupuncture. I am not a fan of acupuncture. I think it's psychosomatic. I do not believe that it is something that actually is a true healing modality. And there's no way to truly test it if you want to scientifically. So it's more pseudoscience that could lead into other New Age things.
So in other words, there's nothing actually occultic about its roots, but it's just pseudoscience. Is that what you mean?
I'm trying to think about what the roots were. I don't remember exactly the roots. It's not my area of expertise. But like I said, Marcia, she is an expert on that. I don't know if you have anything to add, Billy, to that, or...
Billy, you have yourself on mute.
It's not something that I've looked at deeply, but I do think with all of these things, again, it's discernment and understanding and looking at, you know, if you are just like Jen, you just said, if you're going to try something like this, you should look at the efficacy. Has this been something that's worked? Even if it has worked, though, you have to be careful, right? Because the enemy can use all sorts of different powers to sort of make people think that they can have faith in something that they shouldn't. So it's important that we're careful with these sorts of things. But this would be much more in Jen's wheelhouse than mine, for sure.
Now, how do you respond to people who say things like, it doesn't matter what the origins of something is, as long as the person using it today does not connect it to an evil ideology? And that would obviously go with yoga, it would go to Reiki, it would go to acupuncture, it would go to anything. And they will sometimes say, even pagans, or, you know, like, for instance, Native American approaches to healing and so on, even those that don't know the true God and never did, have somehow stumbled upon things that actually work. And like, for instance, I know that we've all seen a Western where the good guy who's been shot by the bad guys is somehow rescued by Native Americans who take him into the teepee, and they start doing all these things with mud, and, you know, they're doing all these different treatments that might involve, you know, plants and animal parts and all that, and the person gets healed. Now, is it possible that we can make use of things that have demonic roots, but we are not connecting them in our minds or an ideology with them?
You're on mute, Billy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I think that the enemy will use things to get our attention focused on those things rather than God, right? So God can work through anything, but I don't think that there's any world in which we need to rely on other tools like that to find God's power. He can act without those things. But can there be power in the, and this is actually an important and interesting question, you know, can there be power in these occultic tools? Well, I mean, look, when you pull out a Ouija board, you're getting a reaction. It's and people would say, well, that's power. Well, the reaction that you're getting is tapping into the demonic realm. You may not realize that's what's happening. So, you know, you may even feel like you were healed by something. And sometimes I think that that healing is, you know, quote unquote healing is an attempt to get you to put faith in that thing. At some point, that's going to break and the evil is going to emerge. So I don't know if that answers the question specifically, but I do think we have to be careful with anything that we know we're not supposed to be using. I don't, you know, I think that we sometimes assume, well, all that power is coming from God. And you'll hear this even with Christians who fall into the occult. Well, God made me a psychic, right? He gave me this power. And it's like, well, no, that's not what's going on here at all. You think that's what's going on because something is happening and you don't have a context for it. So Jen, I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks there. But I for me, any tool like that, even if there's something that seems positive coming from it, it is not coming, in my view, from the Lord.
That was well said. And the key word there is seems. And I always talk about Satan is the master of illusion. He's the master of smoke and mirrors. And I would not, if I said to you, I automatically channeled something, that's where this information came from, and it gets passed down throughout whatever. Now, do you really want to engage in that? He had to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
For our listeners who don't know what Jen means, Billy Hallowell had to depart from us. He had another meeting that he could not get out of. So I just wanted to let our listeners know why he was saying that. whenever I hear an Italian say, he's got to go, it kind of worries me. You know what I mean?
Love it.
He just had to go, you know what I mean?
Sorry about that. Yeah. Aw. But anyway, just to finish that thought. So if I automatically channel, which is channeling, which is communication with demons, and it gets passed down, you know, just like I said, with the Enneagram, right? Well, I don't want information from demons. So there's no way I'm going to change the reality of that. So no, I'm not one personally who, agrees that you should do something, even though the origin is demonic, that you can do it, you know, as a Christian. I just don't. You can't change reality.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to our final break. And when we come back, we hope that you have a question that we can ask of Jen Niza. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And as always, please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, such as some kind of participation in the occult, either that you were personally involved in or a loved one, it's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Oh.
Attention all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners. There is no doubt we are living in difficult times. Our country is facing out-of-control government spending, a looming trade war, a race towards a traceable digital currency, and the growing BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. All signs are pointing to major shifts in the global economy. More and more countries are dumping the U.S. dollar, and that should be a wake-up call. That's why I urge you to call my friends at Gold Wealth Management, advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are offering free, no-obligation reports on market conditions, the BRICS threat, the future of digital currency, and how to protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. Do you already own physical gold or silver, but were never fully educated and still have questions? Maybe you're unsure how it fits into your overall plan. Call for a free evaluation and educational call with the team at Gold Wealth Management. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. Don't guess. Don't delay. Get the information you need to make a sound, informed decision. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. That's Gold Wealth Management.
And don't forget, folks, there are a couple of folks that need to be recognized for sponsoring this program in part. First of all, my dear friend of many years, going back to 1991, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call Dan at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Also, if you are in the market for a piece of jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you want a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created where you and your loved one will be the only one on the planet Earth who possess this one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, whichever the case may be, please purchase that jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, who are not only masters at customizing jewelry, I've seen what they do firsthand, and my mind has been blown by what they have created. So not only are they masters at that, and not only do they have absolutely breathtaking jewelry already in stock, and not only are they experts on jewelry, but they are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry that they sell to our listeners, as long as those listeners mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry. We get 100% of the profits. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com if you are in the market for a piece or pieces of jewelry. And now we're back with Jen Niza, a former occult practitioner and psychic. And going back to the main theme that we originally wanted to address, or that you had chosen, when it comes to witchcraft in the cinema, can you please, I mean, we all have immediately ideas that pop into our head when you say the word witchcraft, but maybe you have a broader definition or a more in-depth understanding of what that actually means.
Yeah, witchcraft is when you are trying to use supernatural powers to attain things, control over your life, over people, doing spells, doing incantations. It includes things like many rituals, moon cycles, which I mentioned before, things of that nature. Divination is similar, yet God condemns it all in his word, of course. And divination is when you are trying to get access to supernatural powers for information about your life, try to contact the dead, etc. which God clearly condemns in his word. There are wizards. I think I was the unpopular on one of our interviews, Chris, when somebody asked about Harry Potter. I was just going to say, I did a video about Harry Potter too. It's on my YouTube. but the Bible talks about these things. So you're going to the counterfeit. You're tapping into supernatural powers that go outside and against God's boundaries. And those are demonic forces, extremely dangerous.
Now, how dangerous is it, before we go back to the cinema issue, because this just popped in my head, I don't want to forget it. How dangerous is it to only categorize people who make claims of having a past life like yours as those who are involved in activities of charlatanism? It was just all fake. And, you know, there, in fact, I think many people from the background that you and I are in, as far as church background, Reformed Baptists and theologically Reformed Christians in general, very often avoid discussion or even sermons about the topic of the demonic realm. And perhaps only the personal responsibility of the sinner is discussed, and that sinner's deserving of hell and so on without the blood of Christ. But of course, things that need to be proclaimed and preached. But at the same time, how dangerous is it when it's just written off or fluffed off as nothing but charlatanry? And I know that there must be a pretty decent percentage of what goes on in that realm that is fake. People who have been exposed as fakes, who were involved in online psychic predictions and things like that, where you pay for predictions about your future and all that, and tarot card reading over a telephone and so on. But anyway, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, there are charlatans. I believe in every group and profession,
even in churches.
Even in churches, and that. But it is dangerous to ignore the reality because of that. You can't ignore the reality of psychic communication, of witchcraft, which is spoken about over and over again in the Bible. This is something that's been going on for ages. Just because of the fakers, the pretenders out there, that would be extremely dangerous to do, actually. And that's a deception, I believe, of the evil one, Chris, because how great would it be for him if he gets some people to think, hey, this is just a scam, or other people, hey, this is just entertainment. Whatever he has to do to deceive, right, or desensitize you to the practice, he's going to do. And then, unfortunately, you stumble across it one day, and then maybe you're hooked. It is a very real thing. I'm very blessed to say, again, about Grace Reformed Baptist Church, that Pastor Doug has done a sermon about spiritual warfare. He knows about yoga. I was very impressed when I heard these things at my church, that they were even talking about it. You're right. It needs to be talked about, because God is clear about it, and our culture has the corner market.
Now, Doug wasn't wearing a unitard and actually doing a demonstration on it, was he?
No, in fact, he was leading an encouragement group. That's great. Yeah. And they're super encouraging to my pastors. We have great Pastor Bob, Pastor Dan, and Pastor Doug. And I'm blessed for that. But you're right. A lot of churches are not handling this topic, not speaking about it. And that's really an injustice, because it's just in everybody's face, and it needs to be spoken about biblically. And people need to be there for counsel. Our pastors need to be there for counsel. Should a Christian stumble across a tarot card reader at the bridal shower or something else, there should be something there that you can go to your pastor and say, hey, is this, you know, what is this thing? But don't be led astray because there are charlatans, by any means. That's just a smart tactic of the evil one. it doesn't take away the reality of witchcraft and psychic communication and tools of divination and fortune telling and interpreting omens and necromancy. Those are real things.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, people can become overly fascinated by everything connected with the occult. And even if they are solid Christians that are not pouring themselves into in-depth investigation because they want to be involved in it or because they love it, but there's something fascinating and exciting about exploring the roots of these things. And even whether it is a real or pretentious guise of wanting to help others, you find yourself becoming too deep in an exploration of this. Isn't that a real danger?
Yeah, absolutely. There has to be a balance. You know, we have to be balanced in everything that we do, biblically balanced. And looking too much into these things can create an intrigue, because the supernatural is intriguing. It definitely is. And that is a great warning that you have there. So there's no need to look for demons. There's no need to try to engage. Do not do that. Do not try to contact demons. Do not do hours and hours of research on demons. And yeah, that can be an extremely thin line right there.
Yes, and obviously, you know, there are circumstances where a theologian or an author is writing a book on demons, you know, and he's got to do his homework. But as far as a pastime or a hobby, people have to be very careful about that.
Yeah, definitely.
And going back now to the cinema, is there anything else that you care to say to warn our listeners or inform our listeners and educate them on how witchcraft is present in cinema in the 21st century, even in ways that we don't easily recognize?
Yeah, there was even a movie, Dear Santa. It was back quite a few months ago with Jack Black. And I remember a Christian saying to me, well, but it had a heartfelt message. Well, was that message of salvation? Was that message of how Jesus is the solution to Satan? Because Satan they were portraying Satan in the movie. This is so bad. Just because something gives you the fuzzies at some point in a movie doesn't mean that it is a good idea to watch that movie. And the best thing that I can do, and I think it's what, well, I know, it's what I realize now. See, God prompted me 2 years ago to make this movie, the movie that I'm doing. And now I realize it's because I've stepped into, like I said before, I've stepped into YouTube, I've stepped into Instagram. This is just another platform where Satan is deceiving people. And so my prayer is that this movie that we're making will, of course, point to our Redeemer, will help to win souls, but it is going to also expose psychic communication for what it really is. And that's stepping into the culture. As the church, we expose it, which is wonderful, but I'm stepping into it from a biblical perspective to say, hey, this is what this really is. And I pray that it would reach many souls.
Yeah, you brought up the Jack Black movie. I have not seen, nor do I intend to see, the Jack Black movie.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, the movie, which is a comedy, is about a young boy who writes a list of wishes to Santa and misspells Santa as Satan, which summons up the character of Jack Black, who is Satan and pretends to be Santa. He's either Satan or a demon of some kind. And that's where you have a topic that I don't really believe that we've addressed, is when the devil and the demonic realm and hell itself have far too often and too much become just the subject of humor and jokes. And why is that wrong? I mean, some people might say, well, one of the best weapons against any enemy is to make fun of the enemy. But can this really put ourselves at ease too much when we have a frivolous, careless, jovial attitude about talking about Satan, demons, and hell?
I would say that it would, and that could lead you into sin very quickly if you don't take it seriously. I mean, Jesus spoke more about hell even than about heaven. And it's a real place and it's eternal torment. That means forever. It's not a party there. It's not something to be made light of. You're not hanging out with your other sinner friends roasting marshmallows. That's very dangerous to have any sort of casual idea about hell, get cavalier about it. Absolutely. And again, that's the deception of the evil one, turning it into some sort of entertaining, humorous idea that at some point does give you that little fuzzy because if it ends the way you want it to end, it's a terrible idea. Bad idea.
And why don't you, before we run out of time, draw to the attention of our listeners, perhaps specific episodes and interviews that you've had with Ex Psychic Saved, your podcast, that may be of help to some of our listeners.
Well, I've hit so many topics already, Chris, and we keep going. I've got yoga, Reiki. We did the acupuncture. I've done vibrations and frequency, sound bowls. Oh my goodness, the law of attraction, manifesting. What else have we done? We're about to embark on some really interesting episodes on telepathy, numerology, astrology. And you can go right over to my podcast, Ex Psychic Saved, my YouTube channel, and just take a look and see what you may want to watch or listen to. Odds are pretty good it's going to be there.
And how do you find your podcast?
My audio podcast is available on all podcast streaming platforms, Spotify, Google, Apple, etc. I also have a YouTube channel, which what I do now is I take my podcast episodes and after they've aired, I then bring them over to YouTube. But I have extensive YouTube videos from prior, and I do lives as well, Chris. So, for instance, tomorrow I'll be doing a YouTube live on my YouTube channel. I'll be streaming that also on X and Facebook at the same time through StreamYard, which is pretty cool. And it will be me ranting again about Wicked and pointing people to, hopefully, which I would just love to mention if it's okay, we are still campaigning for the rest of the budget for the short film at ifoundchrist.com. And if that is on anybody's heart to help us in any way, it is most appreciated. It's a Christian, a Christian campaigning website. You can even pray for us there.
It's like a Christian GoFundMe, you mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And we're trusting in God. We have faith in God that he's going to do great things. And whatever we end up with, it's still going to be made anyway. We're working with great people on this project that know what they're doing. The writer and the director is fantastic. And we're already in pre-production. So we're just praying that God would provide the rest. So this is an excellent product to get out there as a feature film.
And your website is xpsychicsaved.com, correct?
That's correct.
And it's expsychicsaved.com.
That's right.
I just wanted to recommend a couple of other interviews that are archived on ironsharpensironradio.com. Earlier, Jen mentioned a friend of hers that she has interviewed, Marcia Montenegro. I've interviewed Marcia twice on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio back in 2023. So you can, all you have to do is type in the name Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, and those two interviews will come up. Also, a program that you might find fascinating that I did, I had Pastor Paul Jaley on the program, who is an expert on the Salem witch trials. He did a fascinating rebuttal to Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing the Witches, where Bill O'Reilly went a real overboard in a slanderous measure in his false description of the Puritans, or exaggerated description. And I think you might find that to be a fascinating listen. That's, and if you type in witches, that will definitely come up. And I hope that you listen. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I want to thank Billy Hollowell, who spent some time with us. I want to thank you, Jen, obviously. for being such a wonderful guest. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.